On Monday, we read from your letters. During our show on subjective scoring in Olympic sports, boxing was raised as an example of how to avoid the kind of judging pitfalls we saw in gymnastics. Scores come up as each punch is landed. A listener named Todd liked this idea. I thought the comparison with boxing was excellent, he said. Imagine a display which starts by listing the judges and the routine difficulty as the judges see and record deductions. The audience sees who made the deduction and how it affects the final score all on the fly. Total transparency. David wrote in to say, it's all in the details. As a competitor, national referee, and an official at the 96 games in judo, I can tell you that part of being a great athlete is taking care of the details, including checking the scoreboard and making your protests in a timely fashion. During the program, one listener suggested that many problems could be solved by scoring only to the nearest tenth. Timothy Reed wrote in from Boulder, Colorado, to take issue. The Winter Olympic sport of luge, in which I compete as an amateur, is in fact timed to 1/1000th of a second, and I've witnessed ties in the sport as well as many competitions which come down to a few thousandths of a second. To dispense with accurate timing in that sport would be unthinkable. I feel sorry for the athletes in judge sports who have to deal with the vagaries of judges, politics, reputations of other athletes, and all of the other problems inherent in subjective judging. And following our program about the heist of two Edvard Munch paintings in Norway, we had a call from Richard in Davis, California.
I'm originally from Corpus Christi, Texas. Back in the mid to late 80s, two Picassos were stolen from our local museum, somewhat similar manner, except I think the escape vehicle was a boat. Any idea what the Picassos are, or have they ever shown up?
At the time of our program, our guest Julian Radcliffe, chairman of the Art Loss Register, didn't have an answer to that question, but he said he'd get back to us about the issue. Good to his word, he joined us now by phone from Shropshire, where he's enjoying Britain's August bank holiday. Welcome back to the program.
Hello.
So have you found the missing Picassos?
No, we haven't. They're not even on our database, I regret to say, but we will write to the museum at Corpus Christi and ask them to log them on. And they're not even on the Interpol list of stolen Picassos. And we have over 400 stolen Picassos on the database, so we need to do something about it.
Keep us informed.
I will.
We received a couple of other inquiries about art heists from our listeners. Matthew Millard of Shelbyville, Kentucky, wanted to know what happened to Rembrandt's Storm on the Sea of Galilee that was stolen from the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. Matthew says he recalls there was a rumor that the theft was reported to have been commissioned by a collector, except that the thieves took the wrong painting. Any truth to any of that?
I doubt it. There has been no clue as to the real whereabouts of any of those paintings. There was an individual who claimed to know, but on investigation, that was probably an attempt by him to reduce the sentence he was going to receive on other things. So I'm afraid there's no joy there.
And Kathy from Madison, Wisconsin, wrote us to ask specifically about the Scream. She writes, I believe I recently read the Scream was painted on cardboard. If this is true, what measures need to be taken by the thieves to ensure it won't be damaged?
That is correct. The Madonna was on canvas, which, of course, can be rolled up if it's taken off its stretcher and out of its frame. But the Scream painted on cardboard, that is more fragile because if they are trying to move it around, they can't make it much smaller. They can't make it any smaller, and therefore it is more fragile and should be kept in a frame.
Before we let you go and get back to the bank holiday, any update on the whereabouts of the two pictures, the Scream and the Madonna?
No, it's very seldom that our work involves recovering things within the first few days of a theft. It is more likely that in weeks, months, or years, there will be some notification to us by somebody who's heard something, and then we can get to work with the police.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Julian Radcliffe, chairman of the Art Loss Register. We reached him on holiday in Shropshire, England. You can send us email, TOTN at NPR.org is the address. Be sure to let us know where you're writing from. Give us some help in how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Dustin Dwyer, Setsuko Sato, Megan Williams, Kara Arsenault, and Becky Vlamis. Our production assistant this week is Joel Riddle. Our intern is Susanna George. The director is Brendan Banizak. Kevin Waite is our technical director. He gets help from Daniel Shukin, Tom Marquito, and Chris Nelson. Gemma Hooley is our editor, and Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.